If you're out of the listening area, you can hear the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show live online. Go to 1320wils.com and click on the Listen Live link. Now, back to a couple of guys who thought Lassie could never really do any of that stuff anyway, and that Timmy was the brains of the operation. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, and Rick, we have with us as a returning guest on the line, Patty Strand, who is the president of the National Animal Interest Alliance, and that's located in Oregon, if I'm not mistaken. Welcome back to the show, Patty.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you, especially bright and early out in Oregon. So
it's not so early.
Well, we still appreciate it. And Patty, the reason we wanted to have you on the show is because Rick was telling me about the survey that your organization has recently completed, and it dealt with the issue, if I'm not mistaken, of the composition of dogs in animal shelters. Can you explain to our listeners a little bit about what the survey was about and why you guys conducted it?
Right. Our group has been involved with dog population trends in the country for the last 20 or 30 years. We have a project called the Shelter Project that takes input from shelters all over the country, trying to track the improvements in terms of, you know, hopefully fewer dogs entering shelters and fewer dogs being euthanized. And so we thought that it would be interesting to take a look at what the composition is in shelters, because there is a lot of legislation around the country that is aimed at solving this problem. And we think that very often that legislation is based on what people believe, but not what people know. So we thought it would be interesting to find out, really, who is in shelters? What dogs are finding their way into shelters today?
Kind of like numerical expression of what reality is.
That's right. That's right. We just thought we'd take a look at it and see. The other thing is that overpopulation has been a problem within the United States for, my gosh, I was looking at some really interesting reviews from out of New York City in the 1890s, 1900, turn of the last century regarding stray dogs. So I guess it's fair to say, reasonable to say that surplus dogs and what to do with them has been a major issue in the United States for the last 100 years or so. And that has begun to change. In fact, during the last 20 to 30 years, as people have learned to, you know, get their dogs ID'd so if they get lost, they can get them back, as they've learned that they have to socialize and train them so that they will, you know, grow in to be good companions, learn to fence the yard instead of letting them run free, and preventing dogs from having litters of puppies unless they're, you know, doing so in a responsible, organized, thoughtful way rather than, you know, sort of the oops litters of 30 or 40 years ago where people didn't spay and then their animals accidentally got pregnant. That has changed. The public has become very, very, in general, there's always a few that don't get the message, but in general, the American public has adopted a responsible pet ownership message, and the number of animals entering shelters all across the United States has decreased tremendously. At the same time, very few, you know, in a highly urbanized technological society where both members of the family often work today, there's also fewer people breeding dogs, in a purposeful way. So what's happened, and this is a point of real great interest to us, is that some parts of the country no longer have enough dogs to meet demand. You know, in the marketplace, whatever you're talking about the supply and demand of that particular entity, in this case, the pet marketplace dogs. So when you look at places like Oregon and Washington and Idaho and some areas around the Great Lakes and virtually all of New England, you no longer have enough dogs to meet the local demand. And as a result of that, a lot of shelters and rescue groups have begun importing dogs into those areas from areas where they still have an excess or, you know, a surplus of animals. Tennessee, Alabama, Arkansas, Texas, et cetera. And it's become a huge factor in the dog marketplace, because the dogs don't just actually they don't just come from the South. And if they come from Southern California, they may well have come from Mexico before they were in California, and dogs are being imported by rescuers from as far away as India and China and Egypt. And so from that standpoint, looking at the dogs that are coming in internationally, there's some public health issues that we have been looking at and chronicling and trying to actually get some legislation passed on. Just about 6 weeks ago now, a shipment of dogs from Egypt came into the East Coast of the United States for rescue. These are not dogs that, you know, had homes already. And, you know, unfortunately, many areas in the Middle East still have rabies, dog-to-dog rabies. And one of the dogs in the shipment did have rabies. And we've seen that occur in dogs from Mexico, in dogs from India, a dog from Iraq, this Egyptian dog, a dog from Puerto Rico, which, of course, is a territory rather than a foreign country. So there's huge public health implications, too, when mass numbers of dogs are being moved around the country. So this has been a focus of our attention. When people are conducting this practice, moving dogs around to meet demand responsibly, like, for instance, in our study, we showed the top five shelters for that had the highest number of purebred dogs. And we did that because in looking at this and studying it, we realized that all of the shelters that purported to have purebreds, every one of them was a major importer. They were going out of state to get dogs, and they were bringing back more attractive dogs. So we thought that that was an interesting issue. One of those five shelters, however, was conducting humane relocation in a way that we support, and that was one in Ohio. And what they were doing was going to local shelters in their state and just across the border in West Virginia, and bringing in dogs that would otherwise not get adopted, that were, you know, considered to be sort of unattractive dogs, basically dogs that might be identified as, and probably wrongly so, as pit bulls, dogs of that general family.
Well, Patty, let me take a step back from this, because what you've described in the study, from just looking at it from a 10,000-foot view,
right,
makes some sense, because in some areas you might have shelters that have all pit bulls, as an example, or pit bull mixes. And so for another part of the country, like I think of Florida, they used to have a lot of dog racing going on down there. There might be a lot of greyhounds that are down there. And so what would be wrong with one shelter saying, hey, why don't you send us some greyhounds and we'll send you some of our pit bulls, which you don't have. And now both of us have a better selection of dogs for people to be able to choose from. What's wrong with that?
Well, you know, originally, back in 1999, when we wrote the first article on this, and even as late as 2002 and 3, when we wrote the second and third articles on this, we believed that humane relocation could be a real asset in solving the problem. But there are a couple of things that are kind of wrinkles to this that you raise. When you talk about Florida in particular, the mayor of Palm Beach County just about a month ago did a big press conference begging rescue groups not to bring dogs into their city, because when they do, it causes them to have to euthanize local dogs that are in their shelter. They were bringing in some, basically they understood that the rescue groups understood that the population of Palm Beach County was wealthy enough and large enough to be able to absorb a lot of dogs that they brought in, and so it became sort of a magnet county for bringing dogs in. And she pointed out that they euthanized in their own city 1,800 dogs the previous year. So she literally was begging them to stop doing this. So that's one factor. The other factor is that it has become a big business, and it's totally unregulated. When you're moving mass numbers of dogs across the country and there's no transportation requirements like there would be if you were in the commercial pet trade, for instance, you were taking dogs to a pet store, the breeder would have to be licensed and inspected. The transporter would have to have be approved by USDA for having the right facilities. And then the folks on the receiving end of that would have to also be regulated, usually by city or county or in some cases state laws. So what is unusual, different about the animals that are in transport is that nobody is regulating them. That's how dogs that, like I mentioned, come in from Egypt can get into the country in the first place and then, you know, wind up having rabies, which is a huge public health issue for us, is that there's just simply no oversight at all. In fact, it kind of reminds me of the commercial dog breeding world when it first emerged in the 40s and 50s in the United States, 30 years before the Animal Welfare Act. You had, people converting to raising dogs, switching away from other livestock that they had in order to meet the demand of the public. And for, you know, the first 20 years or so, you had a lot of people participating that were not following any kind of organized or thoughtful animal welfare practices. I mean, they were non-existent. The Animal Welfare Act had not yet been passed. And so that's what you have here is a group of people who have identified demand. They also certainly have many of the people who do this are very sincere. They're trying very hard to, what they say is, they're trying to save a life. They take these animals from the kill shelters. But there are other things, too. When you're not somebody who's worked with dogs historically, there are issues of temperament and health. If you go back to the, let's say, the 70s and 80s, when just huge, staggering numbers of dogs were entering shelters and being euthanized, the shelter directors would use the slightest little problem that a dog had to say, okay, we can't save them all, so we won't save this one. We can't save this one. So in that period, although the euthanasia figures were through the roof, unacceptably high, you didn't have consumers getting dogs that were so sick that they were going to have to rehabilitate them, spend the money that they would ordinarily spend on their children in order to make the dog whole, or hopefully, you know, at least try to make the dog healthier. And you didn't have dogs being placed with the public that had obvious aggression problems, problems with temperament, known histories of biting and that sort of thing. So you have those kinds of dogs, lots of them, being moved through the chain now. There's a scramble just for dogs, for product. And so although there is very, very clearly a very strong humane element within all of this, there's also a huge amount of greed and, unfortunately, a lot of what's the right word? I don't want to disparage a whole group of people, just like I wouldn't want to disparage people, you know, that are breeding dogs either.
No, but there's definitely a problem.
It is the Wild West in rescue and shelters today.
Well, and that's, Patty, where we're going to pick up the conversation. We need to take a quick break. But after the break, we would like to bring you back. And now that you've outlined the problem, we would like to talk about what are some of the practical solutions that you would like to see. We're talking this morning with Patty Strand, who is the president of the National Animal Interest Alliance, right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
Like us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/mmpets. Upload your pet's picture or check out the silly pet photos that we put up there to get you through your day.
Yeah, this is a story of famous dog. For the dog that chases its tail, we'll be busy. These are clapping dogs, rhythmic dogs.